And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about this one, Alabama, y'all. I mean to say this show, goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So this dipper I'm about to do, and by the way, coming up top of the hour, we'll have somebody in who's far more astute with numbers than me. Justin Bogie and I have known each other for a few years. We worked together at the Alabama Policy Institute. He's a fiscal analyst, bar none, used to work in the state legislative fiscal office here in Montgomery. Then he went to the Heritage Foundation, spent some time up on Capitol Hill, and he is now with the Alabama Policy Institute as a numbers guy, a fiscal analyst. And we'll talk to Justin Bogie about this economic plan, quote unquote, that Vice President Kamala Harris came up with. And I'm looking at it thinking, she didn't come up with this. Or did she? I don't know. But it is the most pork-infused plan I have ever seen. Like, shockingly so. There is a complete disregard for the principles that build an economy. I mean, I will not try to portray myself as a deep economist. But in my time in state politics, I can tell you that I felt like I was somewhat of a fiscal hawk. I was determined to, you know, to sort of clamp down on big government and try to find ways to prevent tax increases and do the things that could crush an economy and also grow economic development opportunities. I chaired the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. In fact, I founded it. It wound up being one of the bigger committees in Montgomery, and we had some great legislation that came through there. And there are times, and I get this. I'm a firm believer that government has a role. I mean, Jesus even acknowledged that government has a role. But government can also grow beyond the point that its role is governance and it's more control. And that's exactly what Kamala Harris's economic development plan is going to be. And by the way, let me just point something out before we go too much further on this, before I get into the details of what she has, you know, made a campaign promise about. Let me just point out that she keeps talking about how on day one she's going to do these things. Day one? She's on like day 1300. What's this day one stuff? You're the Vice President of the United States like right now. Are you saying that you have no authority? You know what they're doing? They're doing everything they can to distance her from the fact that she is currently in office. They want her to appear fresh. So the verbiage they use, which really impacts the low-information voter, the verbiage they use is all as if something's brand new. On day one, I'll be doing these things. But you're in office now. You're the incumbent. You're running with an incumbency resume. It boggles the mind. It's part of the gaslighting, though, right? All right, first article I got here, just to reference where we're going. Trump called it. He called it hard, man. Story here on Fox News, Dateline yesterday, 2 days ago. Trump says Harris has gone full communist with her economic plan. That's what his words. He's calling her Comrade Kamala. Her socialist price controls and other efforts are just full communist. He says this is like the Maduro plan. It's like the old Soviet Union. They tried it there. How'd the Soviet Union turn out, says Trump. Trump said Harris's plan for federal price controls, which her campaign is packaging as a solution to price gouging, will lead to rationing and skyrocketing prices. All right, let me ask you something. Can anybody tell me what company is price gouging? I don't mean, does your bacon cost more? That's not what I'm talking about. What company is price gouging? Which one? Price gouging is when you have one company taking advantage of a situation and just basically jamming. Like, for instance, when the tornadoes of 2011 swept through North Alabama, my Senate district wound up being an oasis in the northeastern part of the state. The tornado track actually, it was really almost surreal. The tornado track tracked from Tuscaloosa across to the northeastern part of the state, and then it split into two. And so my district had, at that time, had Etowah, Cherokee, and Southern DeKalb counties, and the split of the tornado track went on each side of my district. It was really bizarre. It was wild. So we were the place where you could go to buy gas in Northeast Alabama because everything else was shut down. We were the place that had power. And we were the place where there are hotel rooms for people to stay in. That being said, I could not help but notice one day that a local gas station was charging like 35 cents per gallon more than anybody else. And so I stopped and asked the manager to please explain to me, as the state senator on behalf of my constituents, why people were paying 35 cents a gallon more than they were right down the street. That's price gouging. By the way, he didn't appreciate my stop. Doesn't matter. That's price gouging. That's one taking advantage. When an entire industry is elevated, that's called inflation. It's not price gouging. It's not price gouging when the government floods the market with money, regulatory burdens are placed that drive the ability to create down, which lowers the amount of stock available on the shelves, so to speak, and suddenly you've got more money, less commodities and goods, and then lo and behold, you've got an increased demand because of more money, but you don't have enough to buy. And what I'm saying is you got inflation. When you see your bacon going up, just know this. There's no one bacon company gouging anybody. Bacon is up across the board because farming, pork farming, is up across the board because the cost of transportation of goods from farm to market is up across the board because everything is increased in price because fuel prices are up across the board. That's all called systemic inflation. And yet Kamala Harris wants you to believe it's price gouging. It's those rich corporations trying to have their way with you. Really? You mean all the bacon providers got together and hush, hush, whisper, whisper, smoky back room, they decided to raise the prices of bacon everywhere? Like, all of them? All right, some are already calling this Kamalanomics. Social media pundits are saying that she's trying to create an economic opportunity, but bottom line is this. She's offering, this is bizarre. She's offering to fix prices. So price capping is the government intervening in the market. Let me tell you something. If the economy is strong, people will not buy that thing because they don't need it and they can go somewhere else and get something just as good or better or cheaper. But the government coming in saying, we don't care where you are, from now on, all bacon will cost this much. You've just crushed the market. At that point, no one's allowed to have a better plan. No one's allowed to have an improved capability. No one's allowed to refine their systems because it won't matter because they'll never succeed. They'll be fixed by the government. She doesn't understand that. Then she's also, oh, by the way, here's a new one. Suddenly she's going to build 3 million homes. Hello? 3 million homes. Has she seen what housing starts are right now? Because the market is not supporting the ability to build new homes everywhere. Now, in some economies, you are. In my portion of the state of Alabama, the housing market is moving, but is down. In thriving economies like in Huntsville right now, it is still gangbusters. Depending upon where you are, housing demand is either up or flat, or even down in some places still. But those are the markets. But when the government comes in and says, we're going to build 3 million new homes. Let me ask you something. You ever seen a government-built home? Do you want to live in that? I don't know that you do. I mean, we're. If any of you have been to former Soviet bloc countries and you've seen government architecture and you've seen what happens when the government controls the construction, you may not want it. Just saying. But don't worry, though. She's going to help because she's going to give $25,000, literally, $25,000, this is her promise, to every first-time home buyer. Whoop, whoop, everybody gets $25,000. Are you buying a house for the first time, you sweet young couple? Here you go, $25,000. Where'd that come from? It's free money. It's just free. We just printed it this morning. Still smells fresh, doesn't it? Just like the Ditto sheets when you were a kid in school. It's just free. But doesn't somebody pay for it? Oh, don't you question. It's just there for you. Why? Because we're from the government and we're here to help. This plan goes on and on and on. I think one of the things that really gets me too, and I've got an article about it. In fact, I'll tell you what, let me just weed through my stack right here and I'll go straight to it. It is not just, it's not just the fact that she wants to control the flow, so to speak. She wants to control the ownership. So there's an article here on Mediaite, came out Saturday. Critics slamming Kamala Harris over a vow to snatch patents. All right, so there's a video of her. I watched the video. I almost wanted to throw something at the TV when I saw it. Critics are pouncing on a resurfaced clip of Vice President Kamala Harris bragging that she'll have the government snatch away patents from drug companies in an effort to lower costs. So what she's saying is not only are we going to fix prices, but if we don't think you're cooperating fast enough, we're just going to take away your patent. Well, I'm sorry. Does that mean that the actual ownership interest in a patent just went away as a matter of law? You can do that? You can. And her words are, she goes, can we do that? Yes, we can do that. The question is, do you have the will to do that? And I have the will to do it, she says. All right, how many times in the last few years have we seen Joe Biden literally ignore constitutional liberties and defy the courts and move forward on something only to have it backhanded to him by the courts who told him that it was unconstitutional? What you just heard is that in violation of the free market, in violation of civil liberties, and in violation of market principles, and oh, by the way, statutory law that establishes patents, that she's going to step in and go, well, I'm the president. And I just think, you know what? I think we need to own that now. It is now ours. Thanks for all your research, the hard work, and the things you did to, actually develop the product. But we'll take it from here. And next thing you know, companies are like, why bother? Why should we even invest? And then investment capital just crashes because people don't want to invest their hard-earned dollars in a market where they could suddenly find that their venture capital opportunities just got crushed by the government who stole the patent. Because don't think it'll stop with medicine. Next thing you know, it'll be in the music industry. Then it'll be in technology. Then it'll be in software. And then it'll be in automotive. And the next thing you know, you got the better mousetrap and you're pretty excited, but you just don't kowtow to the government watchdogs. And all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, we're taking that patent from you because we own it now. Thank you for helping out big government. We are here to help. Listen, this is communism in a big, big way. And this is exactly what she's touting. I mean, I'm not making it up. I'm reading you her quotes. All right, Big Rig, take me to a break, brother. Listen, this is getting me fired up. I'm telling you, folks, if you think for a second that we can sit still between now and Election Day, my gosh, you better get busy. Get busy living. Get busy dying is what I'm saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, Big Rig and I were just talking during the break. What do you think? I think we may have to. So we do Taco Tuesdays, right? You know, we have the camel on hump day. We got Turbo Thursday. We got Fry-yay. We've never had anything about Monday. I'm thinking Meatloaf Monday.
Yeah. I agree because we don't want Mondays to be depressing.
No.
You know, because everyone's going to do that.
I don't want to call it Manic Monday.
Yeah, Mondays, you know, like Meatloaf Monday, something to look forward to.
Yeah. Meatloaf Monday.
Okay.
Okay. Y'all are welcome to chime in out there. Tell us what you think in Ruffian land, but I'm personally a Meatloaf fan, and I don't mean the singer Meatloaf, although he was good. I'm thinking Meatloaf. We got a local establishment here not far. I mean, I'm talking like minutes away from where Big Rig and I are sitting right now called Pruitt's, and they make a mean meatloaf, and they actually have Meatloaf Monday.
The mashed potatoes and the meatloaf.
Fried okra.
And the gravy.
I'm saying.
Oh,
come on.
Perfect.
Let's go ahead and shut her down and head out. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Meatloaf Monday, it may be a thing. All right. Hey, listen, let me jump back on this communism rising. Just so you know, not all Democrats are on board. The Washington Post editorial board has just basically roasted Kamala Harris. I mean, this is the Washington Post, by the way, the uber liberal Washington Post. And they're like, they basically came out and said that she, in their words, story that came out over the weekend, she squandered her opportunity to announce a substantial plan. Like, I think what they're looking for is like, oh, yes, it's all, give us something to be proud of. And they didn't find it. And they say, you know, it's a real political issue for Ms. Harris. They say one way to handle it might be just to level with voters and acknowledge the fact that, you know, snarl supply chains and inflation were a thing. But no, she went straight for blaming big business. She vowed to go after price gouging by grocery stores, landlords, pharmaceutical companies, and other supposed corporate perpetrators. By having the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, enforce a vaguely defined federal ban on price gouging. Okay. She vowed, like I said here, to build 3 million new homes. I told you about that. Go after companies for price gouging. Give families a $6,000 child tax credit. By the way, the child tax credit, all of a sudden she's for tax cuts. Isn't it interesting that the existing tax cut, which used to be $3,000, expired on her watch? And then J.D. Vance, as the, you know, Trump VP nominee, comes out and says, I think we ought to make it, come bring it back and make it $5,000. And she comes back and goes, I'll make it $6,000. It'll be $6,000. I mean, look, come on. You let it expire. Where were you? The editorial board said she offers clever tax incentives, but her proposed $25,000 down payment assistance for first-time homebuyers stimulates the demand side, which risks putting upward pressure on prices. Such a measure might make sense if Mrs. Harris paid for it by eliminating other demand-side housing subsidies like the mortgage interest education. What they're basically saying is she failed at Economics 101. She doesn't recognize that, once again, flooding the market with money does nothing to benefit the consumer in the end because it drives up prices. If you think for a second that they're not going to game this thing, I mean, every real estate developer is like, well, hang on. You're going to give them $25,000 in free money? Guess what? The price of that house has went up $30,000. Whoop, whoop. And that's what's going to happen. And then there will be a, well, we'll have to find fair market value and you'll qualify for your $25,000 once you've proven it's fair market value, but that the entire market's going to be up. I mean, it is. The entire market's going to be up. Meanwhile, by the way, the cost of building materials is still through the roof. So building new starts, it's going to be difficult. I got another piece in here. I've got one that's localized to Alabama. I'll come back to it, but let me get this one from Daily Wire. Daily Wire has a piece that clearly indicates that Democrats are struggling right now. I mean, they're stuck having to support it. Top of the ticket came out instead of thing. And now they're all back home going, oh, crap. We got to support that. How do I do that? How do I support this? Well, not all of them are. Jason Furman is a guy. This is a Daily Wire, by the way, came out today. It says, spin cycle. Democrats sacrifice basic math for socialism to defend Kamala. But Jason Furman, who's a top economist for former President Barack Obama, he made it clear that he saw this price control proposal as being potentially dangerous, disastrous even. He said price gouging is a message. It's not a reality. A real proposal, you're going to end up with bigger shortages, supply, and ultimately higher risk higher prices and worse outcomes for consumers. It's a mess, y'all. All that to say, there's so much more to this story, but what we're looking at right now is communism rising through the voice of the Vice President of the United States of America. Coming up next, Justin Bogie, fiscal analyst with API. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. I'm all in, man.
Just going ahead and using it.
Charlene called me earlier, told me she's going to pick up some meatloaf, and I can't get rid of it now. Nice. It's like, it's Meatloaf Monday as far as I'm concerned.
I like it. It rolls off the tongue.
I'm digging it, man. It also makes me hungry. Hey, listen, by the way, we're going to keep on moving with this topic of communism rising. So Kamala Harris has announced her economic development plan, her plan for the economy, the idea of combating rising inflation by blaming corporations and just on and on and on. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Much of what she is aligning herself with are principles that are anti-free market. Well, there's an organization out there that I know and love that I used to be a part of called the Alabama Policy Institute that stands in part for free markets. They've been doing conservative policy now for over three decades here in the state of Alabama. And they are part of a larger umbrella of the state policy networks. And Justin Bogey is a fiscal analyst with the Alabama Policy Institute. Justin's got a great resume for it, too. He knows where all the bones are buried down in Montgomery because he spent time in the legislative fiscal office. He went to the Heritage Foundation. He spent time on Capitol Hill, and he's now a fiscal analyst with API, and he's on the phone as we speak. Justin Bogey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Phil. It's good to be with you again.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. I think it's been too long. We need to figure out why it's been so long.
I know.
It's on my end, not yours.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're in this weird situation where she's actually come out and said pretty much, here's my plan. And yet I look at it and go, that's a plan? But you're a fiscal guy. Break it down for us. What do you see and not see?
Yeah. And I'd love to have more details, but just from what we heard last week, you know, there's a lot of alarming things there. You're getting into things like, you know, price fixing, telling corporations how much they can charge for goods and services. You're getting into, you know, housing handouts, so to speak, giving people large credits for housing. It very much sounds like, just from the little bit that we've heard so far, that they're looking at corporate income tax increases are likely on the agenda if she's elected.
Oh, wow.
Individual income tax increases for people who are making over $400,000. So really, in a lot of ways, a redistribution of wealth. And like you said in the intro, just trying to restrict the free market and really set a lot more controls over businesses, large corporations in America, who are really the drivers of the economy, who are the drivers of jobs. And not to mention, with all these proposals, we haven't heard anything about how we're going to pay for it, you know, as we cross the $35 trillion threshold in debt today.
Today we did? Just today?
I believe it was today or over the weekend, but very recently we were at 35.1 trillion now in gross national debt, and you know, just any number of these proposals could greatly increase that number over the next 10 years. So we're I would say it's the wrong track to be going down.
Yeah, and I look at it too. There's zero ownership of the fact that she's complaining about an economy she helped create. I mean, this has been a, you know, economics 101 is what I said earlier. This has been a violation of economics 101. Her administration has flooded the market with money and then overregulated that which existed to produce goods and services to the point that services and goods cost more and have fewer of them on the shelf. And then, oh, by the way, there's more people though with money in their pocket because it was free from the government and they want to go buy stuff they can't buy. It's just, it's why inflation is what it is.
Right. And we're not in a situation where we can really blame, you know, COVID for this anymore. It's been 4 years. She's been there for the last three and a half of those. And really, it's a continuation of a lot of the Biden policies but really an expansion of those policies, kind of going even further than he was willing to go. So, I think you're absolutely right. And on, you know, something like this price control thing, you know, basically telling companies that they can't price gouge and you know, even defining price gouging is hard to do. But, you know, really the reason for prices increasing so much in the last few years is a lack of raw material supplies, that kind of thing, increases in labor costs. It has little to nothing to do with companies just going out there and gouging prices as much as they can. So, you know, that's not going to fix those problems. All it's going to do is when there is a scarcity of goods, make those companies less likely to produce more of them because they don't have really any incentive to.
Yeah, that's the thing is when in the free market, when you build a better mousetrap, people flood to you and you succeed because you stayed ahead of the market. But if there's a redistribution, if there's an evening of the playing field because you don't want anyone to have any opportunity to excel, then no one excels. And at the same time, everybody loses. That's the thing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's no incentive for companies to try to be innovative or come out or produce more or hire more people if there's no incentive for them to do that. If there's not a increased profit margin, those types of things. So, you know, when you start talking about those kinds of things, it's scary. And, you know, on the housing side, you know, she's proposing this $25,000 credit for housing. But then also on the corporate side, you know, or on the construction side, she's talking about tax incentives to get developers, construction companies to build more. And, you know, in theory, I don't have as much of a problem with the encouraging or allowing businesses to save money so they can invest more, they can hire more people, they can ramp up production. But when you're dictating what types of properties they can build and putting restrictions in place in order to get that credit, it's again picking winners and losers and really trying to dictate the market.
It is. You know, and I look at this housing, this building 3 million houses she says she's going to build, and I can't help but wonder, okay, how's that going to mesh with the Green New Steel they keep going at, where everything's got to have to, you know, are they going to mandate that it's going to have to be built with all kinds of new green and environmental regulatory burdens that are going to drive the cost of it up? I mean, do we even have any idea? I mean, where or how they're going to place or who's going to get these 3 million houses? I mean, it's just unbelievable to me.
I haven't seen any specifics on it, but you know, you bring up a good point. Obviously, EPA restrictions, those types of regulations have been big in the Biden administration. It sounds like she would take those kinds of things further. So, you know, even to, in theory, get this tax credit, if you're a construction company, you may have to jump through so many hoops and spend so much more money on green materials and that types of those types of things that it could really limit your incentive again to want to do those things. And then you also have to kind of question this $25,000 first-time homeowner credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that, if a construction company knows you're getting a credit, is that really going to keep prices down? Is that, you know, or are they just going to say, well, you're getting a free handout from the federal government, basically, so you can afford to spend more money on the house? Is that going to do anything to really lower prices? And my guess, no.
No. In fact, what it's going to do is going to raise the prices by at least $25,000. Is what it's going to do.
Exactly. That's the way that works.
Well, so let me ask you this: in your experience, and in the numbers, the years you've been analyzing these kind of things, is there anything about what she's proposed that the executive branch can even do unilaterally on its own? I don't know that she can pass an executive order that says fixing prices or building houses or what. I mean, I would imagine Congress has to get involved.
Right. If it comes down to actually spending any money on it, then Congress is you know, almost always going to have to get involved with that. I don't know about the price fixing. That's a more interesting one because, you know, theoretically, it's not the federal government spending any additional money. I'm sure there'd be a regulatory burden or that kind of thing. But, you know, most of these other big ticket items, she's going to have buy-in from Congress, which, you know, given the current makeup and I don't think that that's likely, but, you know, what we really ought to be talking about is finding ways to reduce the tax burden, to encourage businesses to do a lot of these things on their own, to make them want to be more productive, to give them a reason to be. And, you know, one of my fears is when you start hearing about, you know, making the wealthiest Americans pay what they should be, their fair share, that kind of thing, is are we going to undo some of the good things that we did back in 2017, like lowering the corporate tax rate significantly? You know, I think things would have been a lot worse the last few years if some of those hadn't gone into place. And, you know, it sounds like to me she's already saying, if I get elected, I'm going to undo some of those things.
Yeah, and, you know, but I agree. And the other somewhat farcical thing, though, is she keeps talking about when I get elected, she's already the incumbent, basically.
Right.
I mean, she's in office right now. So if these were all great ideas, why don't you just go ahead and do them while you have the chance? I mean, but, you know, she didn't want to do that because she knows she can't.
Right. Exactly. She hasn't had the ability to. And then so now we're going to, you know, make it sound like some great new thing that we should all jump on board. And it's interesting the way that they frame a lot of this stuff. You know, I think in general, a certain segment of the population likes to hear about, you know, cracking down on corporate greed and all of that kind of thing, but not really thinking through the broader consequences of what the specific policies do. So, you know, obviously she's doing this for votes, but if it were to actually happen, the negative impacts would be overwhelming.
They would. And, you know, what's interesting is some of the articles I've got here in front of me in my resource stack is I'm pretty sure that most of what I would call serious Democrats also recognize that. I mean, they know it, and yet they're being stuck to. I guarantee you this was not a plan that was vetted by all the people who are then going to be asked on the talk shows, how do you feel about her plan? In the background, I think going, oh, crap. And they've got to deal with it now.
Now I have to go out here. Yeah, and I think you're right. Yeah, everything I saw yesterday on the Sunday shows was pretty tepid at best. But even beyond that, I mean, I think the question that anyone should be asking, Democrat, Republican, otherwise, is how much is this going to cost? Because, you know, just like the child care tax credit expansion alone, the estimates I've seen are over $1 trillion a year. You know, we're already running a deficit of about $2 trillion in 2024. So you're adding another $1 trillion onto that deficit every year in perpetuity. It's just alarming. And you know, I won't belabor it too much, but there's an interesting point. A child born today, Heritage Foundation estimates that they're already $82,000. Their share of the federal debt is already $82,000. Wow. If none of these things that we're talking about right now happened, they'd be about $282,000 a share of the federal debt by the time they're 35. So we have a real problem on the spending side as well that nobody's seems really serious about confronting.
No, and I think even Republicans need to get their hands on spending. I mean, I really do. I think right. we've got to rein that in because we're spending ourselves into oblivion right now. But in the meantime, I don't think that anything I heard from the new Kamalanomics adds up to anything except for socialism, maybe even communism, all the way.
Yeah, I think you're right, absolutely right. I mean, again, if you're talking about price fixing and things like that, these concepts that were popular or we heard more about 40, 50 years ago, you know, I don't know how you can veil that as some new great policy that you've just suddenly come up with that's going to fix everything, because we know from experience that it's not.
Well, Justin Bogey, fiscal analyst with the Alabama Policy Institute, man, I appreciate your time, and we may call you back because we're not done here.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. See you, Justin. All right. We got to take a break right now. I ran long on that because I knew he'd be able to unpack it some more. But when we come back from that, I got a few more of this to tie up, and then I'll jump on your text messages because a bunch of y'all from all over North Alabama and beyond have comments on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling the pins on truth grenades is what we're saying around here. So a bunch of y'all are texting in, and I appreciate it. We're going to jump on your text messages here momentarily. Let me do this, though, first. With regards to Democrats, how they feel about this, I told you a moment ago that President Obama's former top economic advisor, Jason Furman, he is not for this plan. He basically says this could be disastrous. And he points out that, you know, there's no way of saying that you're going to be able to avoid risking higher prices and worse outcome for consumers by setting yourselves up as the government, you know, fixing prices. Then you have people like Senator Tammy Duckworth, you know, who is a Democrat from Illinois. She's comfortable with it. She's comfortable. She is. It's all about balancing things out. Okay. That's about tepid. And then you got Governor Andy Beshear, a Democrat from Kentucky who's known as a moderate. And he comes out saying basically, you know, it was said in such a way that it was effective but not yet damaging, you know, that kind of thing. So we're not getting applause is what I'm saying. Then you had, you had Hakeem Jeffries, who is, you know, usually a very ardent and somewhat strident, if you will, apologist for Democrat policies. And he says, Kamala Harris has articulated a very important plan to make sure we're lowering costs for everyday Americans, that we are ending gouging throughout the country, and that, of course, we're growing the middle class. Okay. All right. So Hakeem's all in. And then you got Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who says, well, we definitely want consumers to keep more money in their pocket and talk about corporate responsibility, so perhaps we should have this conversation. Let's have the conversation. Look, if you've been around politics for 5 minutes, just so you know, putting things in committee, setting them into a study group, or just having the conversation is like saying, not right now. That's what that is. Gretchen Whitmer, let's have the conversation. But I'll finish this piece with this one, 1819 News. Let's talk local. 1819 News reacted to this by going and interviewing Ellie Taylor, who's the CEO and president of the Alabama Grocers Association. Grocery stores, I mean, they have their own association too. And she came out and said, nothing's been defined about what is price gouging. and that the average price of groceries nationwide is definitely up 21% from where it was 3 years ago. But she says, I have not seen anything direct come out of the White House that says, yes, here's what we're going to implement. I think this is part of our campaign pledges. So I think it's very political, meaning what she's saying is it's all political rhetoric. It's talk. She says, consumers can know that if grocery stores are raising prices, it's not because of profitability. In fact, a separate piece I've got over here from the Daily Wire, I believe it was, this one from the Daily Wire, points out that the grocery industry only has a slim, like 1% to 3% profit margin built in. They have to, because they're talking about main staples. These are not luxury items. This is not something you buy with, you know, disposable income. This is like milk and bread. You don't wind up with, you know, huge profit margins on milk and bread. But Ellie Taylor, again, from the Grocers Association of Alabama, says, especially in rural areas, you're going to have stores that are literally going to go out of business, which is going to create food deserts, and people are not going to have access to fresh fruits and vegetables and fresh produce and fresh meats, those kind of things necessary for nutritious diets. The stores are going to go out of business with this plan. I believe it. More to come. Communism rising. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean, this one, I'm talking about this one. Don't ask me again. I'm talking about this one. It's Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, before I go any further, too, I gotta tell you guys. So our newest advertiser is Inspire Advisors. You've heard me talk about them. Inspire Advisors. Look, did you know, audience of Right Side Ruffians, did you know that as you're out there standing up for what you believe in, that some of what you might be investing in absolutely is contrary to what you believe in? I mean, you may find out that some of your investment portfolio is bound up in companies that support things like abortion or, you know, pornography or human trafficking. I mean, it's really awful. It happens all the time. It just does. So maybe you need to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, because they are good at what they do. And what they do is they are experts in what's known as biblically responsible investing. They can not only help you grow your bottom line, but they can also advise you on what companies to invest in so that you can avoid having all the wokeness and other things mixed into your portfolio. So yeah, that's what they do. And if you want to learn more about BRI, then contact Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. Easy to do. And it's free, by the way. They'll sit down with you in person for free. No fuss, no muss, no catch, no nothing. Just show you what's in your portfolio and then help you figure out where you want to go next. Just go to their website. Their website is Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or for that matter, just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the Right Side Radio tab, click on the sponsors, go to their logo. It takes you right to their website. So yeah, check them out. Paul Breyer, Inspire Advisors. I mean, this is like conservative. It's godly. It's balanced. It's financial freedom, y'all. Check them out. Inspire Advisors. I'm going to jump on some text messages because a bunch of y'all apparently care about this. So let me just see what all we got here. Harris from Athens says, okay, doesn't care for Kamala Harris. There's that. And thank you very much. All right. Robert from Athens says, all these politicians who were around when Jimmy Carter was president should remember the disaster of his price and wage freeze on the economy. You know, you'd think so, especially with all the old school farts we have up there in D.C. right now, that they would remember this, right? But they don't. I mean, the price fixing, the stagnation, the stagflation, you know, the energy sector issues, all of it, Carter era. It's coming back to show itself again. Terry from Huntsville says, 2 months ago, our tour guide in Prague, oh, wow, what a great trip. Our tour guide in Prague explained with an incredulous tone, do you know how the communists got in power? We voted them in, he says. And then she then followed up with her family story of her granny being duped by the words of communism and then the result of her grandfather losing his job, her granny losing her job, both educated and then becoming cleaning workers. The standing but derelict buildings of communism between Dresden and the buildings in Prague renovated by capitalism visualize the story. Man, Terry, thank you for giving us like the most epic text of the day. That's good stuff. I got a call on line one on topic. All right, let's go ahead and do it. Rick from Huntsville. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hi, pretty good, Phil. As someone who lived through the Nixon wage price freezes of the early 70s in the grocery business,
yeah,
everybody was complaining, well, you can't mark up the price of what's sitting on the shelf. That's price gouging. You know, so you have an item that costs a dollar sitting on the shelf, and you have 1 to 2 cents profit in it. And when you have to buy it to replace it, you've got to pay $1.05, $1.06, $1.07 for it.
Yeah.
You don't have enough money to replace your inventory.
No, it's supply side economics. It's real. It actually works.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And, you couldn't get people to understand that. And they wondered why, things, were out of stock and weren't replaced and anything marginal got rid of.
Well,
if you want to look at price gouging, look at Google and Apple and, what's their profit margin? 30%, 40%, 50%?
Yeah, easily. I mean, I think about, and so you're in the grocery industry for how long?
I grew up in it. My parents had it, and I had a couple of stores up in Tennessee for about 20 years.
Wow. All right.
And, and like I said, it's a business of pennies. You had to watch the pennies because your margins were so low.
Well, and that's the thing. When you're buying staples, I mean, literally, this is not a disposable income. You're not buying a Lamborghini. You're buying milk and bread. And so you can't up the margins on things that don't involve people's disposable income. You got to keep them down low where everybody can get to them.
Yeah. And, what the industry has done to increase their profits is they've got all these specialty departments, the bakeries, the delis, all of these odd departments. That's where they make all their money, not on dry groceries.
Yeah, your milk and bread and bacon, those are your loss leaders. You gotta absorb the cost of having them on the shelf and hopefully get people over to the things that may be more disposable in their income, right?
Right.
Well, you nailed it, brother. And listen, that's a great call. Thank you for the background input and thanks for what you do.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, take care. Yeah, I mean, we got the best audience in the world, man. You know what? We got the best audience in the world. I mean, this is not a fly-by-night audience. This is not a shallow audience. This is a bunch of people out there who've got life experience and they know what they're talking about. Got people going to Prague, come back and talk about communism. We got guys who own grocery stores talking about the margins that they have to exist under. Ed P. from Huntsville says, Phil, as the saying goes, you can vote your way into communism, but you have to shoot your way out. Golly, what a great quote. Say it again. Ed P. says, you can vote your way into communism, but you have to shoot your way out. Holy smokes. Norma from Northwest Alabama says, 3 million new houses might be enough for the illegal immigrants so far. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I can't help but wonder if that's why they're building them. JT Lacey Springs says, Kamala housing is like Obama's cash for clunkers. Just another look what we've done with your tax dollars. Although the clunker plan did get most of the I voted for Obama stickers off the road. Yeah, all those Democrat bumper stickers went by the wayside. Roger from Ardmore says, you got to try barbecue meatloaf with Jefferson Davis pie for dessert. It's 100% a Southern favorite. Jefferson Davis pie? Really? I was born and raised in the South. I mean, I'm from here. I have never heard of Jefferson Davis pie, but barbecue meatloaf, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. David from Huntsville says Democrats never take responsibility for anything they do. I'd have more respect for Harris if she would own the problem of high price instead of casting blame on others. I've never heard the press secretary of the Biden-Harris administration ever say, yeah, we got that one wrong. Or yeah, in retrospect, we made the wrong. You won't. She's a spinmeister. She's not a reporter. She's a spinmeister. It's unbelievable. Ron from Tuscumbia says the government building houses is a scary thought. Brings back nightmarish visions like Cabrini Green. No kidding. Yeah. Jerry from Decatur says, now we know why 80,000 FBI agents were hired. They needed Gestapo police to perform illegal searches and seizures. Sick. Airborne, he says. Tyler from Huntsville says, I am currently working on getting a home loan for my first house. I don't want the $25,000 because I know what that'll do to the market. There you go. Tyler, thank you for getting it. Can I have some applause for Tyler, please? Just it's for his first house, too, by the way. Tyler, congratulations. Welcome to the real world. And good luck to you. Blessings on you. I do a lot of real estate as an attorney. And I can just tell you, one of my favorite things to do is first-time home buyers. Paperwork looks daunting, but there's no better look on the faces of someone who just bought their first house. So good on you, Tyler. And also, by the way, thank you for getting it when it comes to the market. Francisco from Huntsville says, be clear, the free money in housing will be promises rendered for the illegal immigrants that are living on the streets in major cities. Yeah. Teresa from Town Creek says, do you plan on watching all the DNC convention? That'd be a no. I may catch parts of it. I don't know that I can stomach all of it. I just watched a moment ago on the screen as they were showing some of the warm-ups on the stage, and James Taylor is going to be playing the night. I love James Taylor. I got fond memories of, you know, some of the best stuff out of James Taylor, singer-songwriter of the century, in my opinion. But that guy is so liberal. I just can't, like, destroys my childhood to watch, you know, him up there singing In My Mind, I've Gone to Carolina at the DNC. I can't do it. Bruce from Springville says, have you ever seen a FEMA trailer? That's the quality of a government-built home. There you go. Rick from Madison says, Google, Apple, etc. That's price gouging. There you go. A couple more, and then I'll move on. Brian from Huntsville says, price gouging and inflation. I cannot afford to buy a congressman anymore. They are priced out of the market right now, aren't they? John from Huntsville says, I bet Tim Walz loves to cook white guy meatloaf. What is white guy meatloaf? I have no idea what that even means, white guy meatloaf. I don't know what that means. John, what are you saying to me right now? All right, listen, here's the bottom line. The DNC is about to start. I think it's going to be very interesting as to whether or not, as a whole, they embrace the plan as finally rolled out. By the way, keep in mind, Kamala Harris is now the leader of the Democrat ticket. She's the top of the ticket. She has aspired to the highest levels of her aspirations, all right? She has made it to the pinnacle. And she's been on the ticket now for a month as the leader, and she just came out with a plan, meaning she had no plan before that. What does that tell you? Well, she's in office right now, and she was running as the vice president on the ticket for the last year and a half. She's been in office now for almost 4 years, and she had no plan. None. And after a month on the ticket as the name at the top, this is what she came up with. Communism. This is what she came up with. That's the best she could do, was giving away more money, regulating businesses, destroying the housing market, invading the province of people's ownership rights and their patents. I'm just saying, if you've been a career politician, which she has, and you have served at the highest levels of state and federal government, which she has, and you're currently in office as the vice president, which she is, and she's already been running for office, allegedly to bring something to bear for the last year and a half, which she has, and then suddenly she's the top of the ticket and she's got nothing, that alone should scare people. That alone is a vacuous candidacy. There is nothing there. It is smoke and mirrors. And the best thing they could come up with, I don't know. What do we do? I don't know. What do you want? I got to say something. What do I say? Give them something. Yeah, give them something. What do we give them? Give them lots of money. Okay. She runs out there to the microphone. And now all God's Democrat children got to defend that plan. Whew. It's exhausting being a Democrat right now. All right, listen, that's enough of that one. Communism rising. We're going to switch over and talk about the DNC for a few minutes because, y'all, this one is like shaping up to be a weird one. I mean, like, this is legit different. Like, wow. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the opening ceremonies from the Olympics got nothing on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right and we will be back.